He who saves one life saves the world entire. And the most important life to save is your own. After all, it's the place where you have the most power. So join shadow worker and trauma therapist Laura Giles each week on It's Not You, It's Me. We'll uncover what's in shadow and learn the things you need so you can heal yourself, grow yourself, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and share yourself. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to drop the self-sabotage and limiting beliefs. A healthy, abundant, connected life is an option. Choose it. Subscribe, and let's start manifesting it.
Hey guys, happy April. Hope you're having a wonderful spring. Spring is time for birthing new things, but life is fragile at this stage. Most of the little shoots that are coming out of the ground right now won't make it. Life's a struggle. And today I'm going to give you a mindset hack that will help you not only survive, but thrive. This one thing is the difference between having a life of meaning and fulfillment and enduring life. It's the difference between having a life that you feel like you have been here and one that when you're at the end of it is like, what happened to all the time? Where are all, is everything that matters? Who mattered to me in this life? And that one thing that can make that difference is radical responsibility. So what is that? Well, it's just what it says it is. It's radical, meaning it is extreme. There are no excuses. I'm going to do this thing. It is wild. And by being extreme in your responsibility, it will lead to living wildly, freely, and totally. So by responsibility, it means taking ownership of what happened. So there's a difference between it's my fault and it's my responsibility. So it's my fault is kind of taking it's a victim mentality in a different way. If it's my fault, it's like I'm the dumb person. I'm the one who was wrong. So it's blaming myself. I was, you know, and maybe you were not fantastic. Maybe you did do a thing that wasn't wise, but by putting yourself down for it, it makes it makes life not wild and free and wonderful. It makes it a burden. So we don't want to be, it's my fault. We want to be, it's my responsibility. Responsibility is more of the tone that a leader takes. When you have a manager in charge, if you have a president, you have a CEO, that person is responsible for everything that happens below them. And when something goes wrong, it's not their fault, but they deal with it. That's professional. That's adult. That's what I mean by the difference between blame and responsibility. So we're not going after blame. And I think the words make a big difference. So I wouldn't say it's my fault. I would say it's my responsibility. It means this thing happened and I'm dealing with it. And it doesn't really even matter what it is. It's because it's radical, it's everything. If I overslept, that's my responsibility. If I don't have enough money, that's my responsibility. If I didn't pay my bills, that's my responsibility. It's if I ate donuts, that's my responsibility. It's everything that happens in my life. Big stuff, little stuff, because little stuff adds up to big stuff. So everything that is within my control is my responsibility. So this is about power. It's about owning your power. And the more that you own your power, the more power you'll find that you have. So there are some things that are not your responsibility. As I look at the headlines today, I'm seeing wars happening in Iraq, in Israel, and lots of other places in the world. Not my responsibility, not my circus, not my monkeys, not going to worry about that one. I don't have any control over that. There's nothing I can do if I want to write a letter to a congressman or if I want to protest. That's fine, but I have to be aware of what limited power I have. That's really all I can do. I'm not a politician. I'm not the one pressing buttons. I'm not the one calling up troops. Can't really do too much about that. So I'm not going to let that get in the way of my life. Not to say that I don't care, but I'm working within my sphere of influence. So if I'm watching somebody get beat up in the street, their kids fighting, let's say, could that be my responsibility? As an adult, yes. It's my neighborhood. I have some control over this. I'm bigger than them. I have responsibility. And as an adult, I'm going to break that up. Assuming they're not like giant and are going to hurt me, I'm going to break that up. If they're bigger, I may call the police, do something like that. So there's little gray areas of what's my responsibility, and there's some really black and white areas of what's not my responsibility. I might care about the whales. How much can I do to save the whales? You know, I think it's all our responsibility to take care of everything that happens on this planet as far as environmentally and things like that. That's a collective responsibility, not my personal responsibility. And this is where some people can get into control or trouble over control. If you start taking control of everything, you're going to have a problem. You're never going to sleep. It never ends. So you really have to think about, what power do I really have? I don't have a lot of control over interest rates. I don't have a lot of control over housing costs. If I'm a landlord, I have control over the price of my property. I don't have control over economic things like that, though. I do have control over my spending, and my spending influences what's going on in the economy because of supply and demand. If I won't buy something at a certain cost, I'm like, okay, I'm going to cut myself off right now. This is too much money. Then the demand goes down and perhaps the price will go down. But, you know, there are factors that influence things. I do have some control, don't have a lot of control. We have a lot of collective control. And this is where maybe I might use my influence to speak about things with people who are close to me so that our group mind then creates the kind of culture that we want to have. So, for example, gentrification has become a giant problem since COVID. One thing that happened during COVID is interest rates went down to like 1%. It was very, very low. And people started buying up properties, like mega properties, investing. And even though there was nobody working, I don't know how this happened, but there's this little town near me. They had a lot of little houses from the 50s, probably, that were kind of run down. And a bunch of investors went in, swooped in, bought those properties up. That town is now high dollar because they have upgraded all of those towns. And the people who used to live there can't live there anymore. And if you're going there to vacation, which is how I know of the place, it's way more expensive now than it used to be. And that's happened in low-income neighborhoods. That's happened all over the place where we have priced ourselves out of having affordable places to live. That's happening all over the world. When we go, Americans go on vacation places and like, oh, this is such a pretty place. I'd like to have a place here. Let me retire here. And we go in and buy our or build our big houses there and import all this stuff, American stuff, because we want our American standard of living there, we make it impossible for the locals to live there. So I think we need to think about radical responsibility and how we're using our power, because there's sometimes negative influences. Just because I have power doesn't mean that I should use it all about me. I need to think about the big picture and how I fit in with the community. And how does I fit in with the universe? Because it's not all about me. And one of those ways that you can kind of hone that in is to take inventory. So I highly recommend journaling. I think it's a really good idea to, at the end of the day, to just take inventory. What was good? What was not good? What did you do? How did you use your power? How did you avoid using your power? Things like that to make it conscious. And the other thing that I would do is develop mindfulness. So this the journaling is a part of doing the mindfulness. It brings things up to the surface so that you can see what's happening. Because if I'm living mindlessly and I'm not seeing what's happening, then every day I'm creating things, I'm destroying things, and I have no idea of the impact. By developing mindlessness, By developing mindfulness and using it to take inventory, you can be sure that the things that you are doing are purposeful and good. And if they're not good, then you notice that and you pivot. And another way that you can accentuate that is adopting radical honesty. A lot of times we don't tell ourselves the truth. We hide the truth from ourselves and other people. And that's what leads to having to do shadow work. Shadow is all the stuff that we don't tell ourselves the truth about. You know, I'm too embarrassed to say that I'm hurt by this. So it goes down into a corner and then that hurt just lives there until I'm willing to look at it. Or I am, it could be anything. It could be the littlest things. It's not always something big. It doesn't have to plague us, but it's often fear. Fear of being seen, fear of not being seen, fear of being laughed at, fear of not fitting in, all of these things that we don't tell ourselves the truth about. If you feel your feelings and allow it to be what it is and just take responsibility for how you show up, then these things don't have to go into shadow and these things don't have to be things that we have to heal from. It's just like, okay, another day in paradise. Today's not a good moment. Let me bounce back. You know, if people are moving away from me because I smell bad, then that's feedback. You know, maybe I want to take a shower and or invest in my grooming a little bit. Because there is a balance between me and we. I have to give up some of my independence and autonomy in order to fit in. And maybe I should say, well, you should like me how I am, but that's just not how it is. Maybe I need to take a shower. Now, I'm not saying that you should give up on fundamental aspects of yourself, but there are some things where you have to be a little flexible to fit in. And the more radical I am with my independence, the less I'm going to fit in. That's just how it is. Outliers are outliers. So another thing that you can do to practice radical responsibility is that. Practice courage. Take action. Do you. And maybe that means that I ask for that job. I ask that girl out on a date. I go for creating that business. Maybe I decide to write poetry. Whatever that is, if you know, everything's not going to end up being a big splash in the monetary world. But if it's something that I like to do, why not just do it for you and let that be enough? That's what I mean by take action. You can say the things you want to say. You can do the things that you want to do and know that there might be repercussions for that. They might be positive, they might be negative, but if it's true to you and it's not infringing on other people, why not do it? That's radical responsibility. When I was young, I was a weirdo, in case you haven't caught on to that. And I read a lot of books about mysteries and unexplained stuff. So things about Bigfoot. I would put together questions about dinosaurs and evolution and stuff that people my age were definitely not talking about. And one of the first things that I ever wanted to do was be a past life regression facilitator because I read Edgar Cayce and he talked about past lives. And that seemed like a really good way, a firsthand experience way for me to validate what was going on in the spiritual world, what is real. And as I was growing up, I would tell people this and I would just get these side eye looks. And I was in psychology and I'm not embarrassed of that. I'm telling people and my professors were just like, you know, this chick is weird. And yeah, I'm not really encouraging that. And I didn't get any love at all. But guess what? I ended up doing it. I ended up loving it. I learned a lot. I helped a lot of people. And that was my thing. It was very fulfilling. So I wouldn't necessarily look at how can I make $1 million from this thing. Maybe you will. But I think life is about being here, expressing your uniqueness, indulging your desires, as long as they don't cross the line into infringing upon someone else's privacy or their boundaries, and doing you. And that's something that I just really wanted to do. I don't have any regrets about that. Because it was just more important to me to feel fulfilled and to learn and to grow and to do that. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Just be radically responsible for the choices that you make. I don't think I could have gone down a path where I didn't do what I wanted to do. I've just never been that girl. And if I had, I think I would have been super miserable. You're a creative being. If you practice mindfully creating things, you're going to end up with things you love, not things that you don't love. And you'll love what shows up. We're all here to do that. And I think the world would be a prettier, more beautiful, more connected place if we did do that. So radical responsibility is kind of a way of saying that the buck stops here. And it means I'm dealing with things instead of hiding, blaming, or shaming. And that's cutting out the shadows. I'm dealing with it. Whatever life gives me, I'm showing up for that. That's what I mean. And sometimes those things are going to be things that I want. Sometimes they're going to be things that I expect. And sometimes they're not. But whatever, I'm here for it. It's really a way of being radically alive. And if you're someone who has mood-dependent behaviors, meaning your mood dictates whether you act or not, you're going to need to learn some skills to go beyond that. So radical responsibility is not a mindset thing. It starts with that. It's mindset backed up by knowing what to do instead. So it's one thing to say, okay, I'm gonna take charge of my life. I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to own everything. But if you don't know how to do that, then you can't. And if you're someone with a perfectionistic streak who blames themselves for everything, agonizes over tiny flaws, and sees every possible hiccup before it occurs, the same is true of you. Generally speaking, when you follow through and do excellent work, it seems that doing more of that is better, but not in this case. And you're going to have to learn how to play, take it easy, know how to read the room. So you need skills too, just different ones for the people who have mood-dependent behavior. And if you're in Virginia, I have a group for you guys. So drop me a line and I'll tell you how to join, because you can't do what you don't know how to do. And we can all always upgrade our skills. Or everybody's welcome to join my free community or come with me on a retreat or tour and see what it's like to live that way with mindfulness and radical responsibility and feel what it's like to be alive in connection with nature, the world, people, all that wonderful, juicy stuff. Radical responsibility is only the only way to know what it is to be alive, honestly. And if you're not encouraged to do that, the first radically responsible thing I would do would be to put your foot down then and say, nope, this is who I'm going to be because this is who I'm meant to be. This is who I was born to be, me. I'm going to exercise my power. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to encroach on anybody's boundaries, but I'm going to be me. And I would love to hear how you're doing that, how it's working out. And I think the key is a balance. Do only what is yours to do. Don't cross anybody else's boundaries and go for it. Think of how the world would change. We wouldn't have any wars because war is a boundary violation. I'm going to come over into your country and tell you what to do. That's a boundary violation. Think about, you know, all the petty quarrels that we have with our neighbors, our kids. It would end so much if we all just did that. And that's what It's Not You, It's Me is all about, really. It's about me. How am I showing up? It's not about you. I'm not going to let you dictate my life. I'm not going to let you dictate my happiness. I might not be happy about something, but I'm going to look at myself and see what I contribute to this. And I'm going to take care of that. And I recently did that with a relationship, and something happened where I was just really not too happy. And instead of making it about what the other person did, I'm just looking at myself being like, okay, why am I not happy about this? And the thing that I concluded is this is not a very equal relationship and I don't want to do it anymore. So I didn't make it the other person's problem. I just took myself out of it. Super happy. No conflict whatsoever. Talking about low conflict, I like that kind of low conflict. There was nothing to be done. It wasn't about them. Didn't bring them into it. So that's one of the ways that it can show up. Lots of different ways that you can take back your power. And again, I love to hear about what you're doing to make your life your own. And Continue to listen to the podcast because that's what it's all about, really, making your life about you. So do you, and I will see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help the podcast thrive, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Laura Giles, you can follow her on all her socials at Laura Giles 804. See you next time.